Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're really trying to get your point across in any type of situation, how do you usually go about doing it? If you're there busy stating your case, but the other person just doesn't seem to quite understand what you are getting at, frustration can mount. And eventually, disagreement or an argument over such points turns into escalating dialogue. Finally, shouting is what has become of your interaction. We have a tendency to shout and to yell when we want to be heard above the rest. And not just with our voices. In writing, nowadays, words in all caps, capital letters, are said to be shouts in your message. Exclamation points to an extreme get used at the end of sentences in order to communicate that type of shouting. But even unusual behavior, style choices, and the like are out of the norm. Our attempts to draw in attention, to shout it out that you want to be heard. This is what we know. This is now what we have become accustomed to. It is what we as the world expect. The great prophet Elijah was truly jealous for the Lord, had a heart for the Lord's word and for the faith handed down to him. Elijah said so himself. He had bested all of those prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel with a sacrifice demonstration. Really, it was God who won that day. But two bulls were sacrificed and cut apart to be burned as the challenge unfolded. The prophets of Baal called upon their false god to set their sacrifice ablaze, but to no avail. After many failures, Elijah took the stage. He dug a trench around his own sacrifice, had four stone jars filled with water poured out over his bull three times over. No match or even a torch could set this flooded, drenched sacrifice ablaze. Yet a simple prayer to the one true God, and all was consumed in blazing fire, including the other sacrifice. All the prophets of Baal were thus seized by Elijah's order, and they were killed, all according to the will of God. A word of this event came back to wicked Queen Jezebel. Her response to Elijah's actions, "So may the gods do to me, and more also if I do not make your life as one of them by this time tomorrow." Jezebel was going to make Elijah pay. And just that fast, Elijah's faith in the one true God was washed clean away. He fled for his life. And God miraculously provided food for his frightened prophet to restore his strength. And so while hiding in a cave, the word of the Lord questioned the prophet. The prophet there claimed his jealousy for the Lord God, proceeded then to announce that he was the only faithful believer left in God. Have you ever felt such a way? With so much weak-kneed Christianity in the world outside, and just as many milquetoast Christians, it's not hard for any of us to think that we are the only few true Christians still left. Or maybe that puts us in our place and we realize we're really not as strong as we thought. But if only God would speak to us, directly reassure us that he is in control, to hear from God that he is with us, that he will speak for us, that would work wonders to our faith. Yahweh God had Elijah step out of his cave, stand out before the Lord. A great and strong wind ripped through the canyons, tore apart the rocks on the mountain's face. But the Lord was not in the wind. The mountainous earth all around Elijah began to shake violently. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came an all-consuming fire like that fell on Mount Carmel, but no God present there. And there it is. That is what we want, what we demand, what we expect. We want God to shout to us that he is here. We demand that he make us feel his presence, so that we can be assured. We expect the spectacular when it comes to God Almighty and his great power and strength. But what does Elijah get? From whence comes the presence of God? A low whisper. It has been said that if you really want someone to listen to what you are saying, do not yell at them or shout to them, but whisper. They have to be drawn in close and really pay attention. When Elijah heard that low whisper, he wrapped his face in his cloak, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Elijah knew, then and there, he was in the presence of God Almighty, and thus acted accordingly with great humility. Our Lord Jesus sent his disciples into a village of the Samaritans, heading south toward Jerusalem in preparation for his arrival in his ministry. Yet the people of that village in Samaria did not receive the disciples of Jesus. Instead, they wanted nothing to do with Jesus, this man who had now set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem, the Jews' capital city, not that of the Samaritans. James and John, their boisterous selves, sons of thunder, wanted a great show of power. They wanted Jesus' fame and his might to be shouted for all to hear. Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and consume them? Certainly reminiscent of Elijah on Mount Carmel. But the Lord Jesus rebuked them, denied their request. Jesus would indeed go on to announce curses and woes upon those cities and villages who had rejected his gospel message. But the time for full dramatic judgment had not yet come. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3:17 tells us. Lord Jesus had set his face to Jerusalem. There he would indeed suffer and die upon the cross. There would be made the full payment for all sin, including that of rejection of God's grace. But it would not be a dramatic, shouting show from God. In his anger and his wrath over our rebellion, over rejection against his love and his word. Rather, there on Calvary, it would be through the low whisper of the cross. Now, millions of people lived in the world at that time, if not billions spread throughout the globe. Civilizations were rising and falling throughout the Far East, in the continent of Africa, and even throughout the Americas. Multitudes of people went about their lives doing what they had been given to do all throughout the corners of the world. Farmers and traders, soldiers, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers. And there, in the midst of the busyness of the ancient world, that small, small corner of that Mediterranean region was the low whisper of one man dying on a cross. It is there that God hid his work of mankind's salvation, not for all the world to see together at one time and in great dramatic fashion, but for all the world to hear, as the message of that whisper would be shared throughout the world. Whispers are often used when secrets need to be told. We whisper when we do not want others to hear what it is we are saying. God truly did hide his redemption's work in the cross of Jesus, though not to be kept a secret, but to be shared. The whisper of the cross draws the hearer in to pay close attention to what is being said in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yes, we expect the loud, the boisterous, the obvious, especially from God. What he gives is quite the opposite: the quiet, the unassuming, the hidden. But he still gives it. His gospel, his love, his grace, all in the work of Jesus. In a world of great noise, countless news stories, and addictions to Facebook likes and Twitter retweets, the Lord Jesus comes to us in the low whisper of his word, of his sacraments that he has given. A whisper requires quiet and closeness to hear. The law of God clears that way within us, bringing us to sorrow over our sin and a desire to hear good news. And the gospel of God brings that sweet message of hope and salvation closely into our ears. God has sent his Son, not to condemn you, but to save you, for now and all eternity. Christ Jesus loves you. He forgives you all your sin. And he will come again in great glory, with a shout and a cry of command, a great trumpet blast to claim you who have heard and believed his whisper of grace and peace. Amen. That peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and to life everlasting. Amen.